In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Brothers and sisters, today is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. We hear this parable of the sheep and the goats. The Lord is calling us to be sober-minded, and to consider what kind of life we want to live. In the Creed, we say that we believe that Christ shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. We know that the Lord is the lover of mankind, but we also know that He is the true judge. And each of us is going to stand before Him on that last day. In fact, all the nations we know will be gathered together and be judged by our merciful Lord. Each of us will stand before Him, and our lives are moving towards that day. Throughout this life, we're moving towards that final day. And if we can only keep that in mind every day, it will help us to resist saying and doing and even thinking those things that we ought not to do. We know that we have to answer for everything, even every idle word, the Lord says in the gospel. So it's very good to keep this last judgment in mind. Now, Father Zacharias of Essex puts it this way: whoever keeps the death that is awaiting every mortal and the imminent judgment before his eyes no longer becomes entangled in the vanity of this world, nor utters insignificant words. On the contrary, he stands before God with seriousness and speaks to Him from the depths of his heart. What kind of judgment does the Lord tell us about in this parable? It's one, again, in which all the nations are gathered. All people are separated into two categories: the sheep and the goats. And what are the criteria? Really, there's just one criterion for this separation between the sheep and the goats. And that is love. Of course, this includes both love for God and love for the brethren. It's what the Lord calls in the gospel the first and greatest commandment, and the second, which is like the first: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And this is really, at the heart of it, the criterion by which we're judged, by which our life is judged. Now, there's a wonderful example of a heart that changes from being unloving to being loving in the life of Saint Peter the Merciful. Saint Peter the Merciful is commemorated on September 22nd, and he was a real-life Ebenezer Scrooge. He was a tax collector, and he was very miserly. He never gave anything to anyone out of the goodness of his heart. He never gave any alms. He never showed any generosity. But one day, there was a group of beggars out. It was maybe a chilly day, but the sun was out, and they were warming themselves in the sun. And one of them made a bet with the other beggars. He said, "I bet I can get Peter to give me something." And they said, "Nah, no way. He'll never give you anything." He said, "I bet you." So they made the bet. And so this beggar went to Peter, and he was so persistent, he asked him over and over again, just followed him everywhere he went, "Give me something, give me something." Finally, he totally lost his patience. He wanted to hit the beggar with something, but the only thing he had in his hand was a loaf of bread. So he threw it at the beggar and hit him with it and left. The beggar picked up the loaf of bread, ran back to his friends, and said, "I won the bet." Now, 2 days later, Peter had become deathly ill. And so he was right on the verge of death, and he had a vision. And in this vision, he was being judged, and he was surrounded by demons. And the demons were accusing him of all of his sins. And he saw a balance, a scale. And on one side of the scale were all of his sins heaped up. And that was weighed all the way down. And the other side was empty. And the angels were there, and they were weeping. They were sad. We have nothing to put on the other side of the scale. And then one of the angels came with a loaf of bread and said, he did it grudgingly, but he gave this loaf of bread to the beggar. And so he put that loaf of bread on the scale, and it evened it out with all of his sins. And then Peter woke up. And he said to himself, truly, this wasn't just some kind of hallucination or dream or fantasy, because I recognized all of the specific sins on the one side of the scale. I know that was true. And I know about this loaf of bread. And he said, if throwing that loaf of bread at that beggar could be so beneficial for me, it's such a tiny, pathetic thing. He said, what benefit would it be for me to live a whole life of generosity, to live a completely different kind of life than I've lived up to this point? And so that's exactly what St. Peter did. His heart changed radically. And this is really the point. The point is not that one external grudging deed by itself saves us. That's definitely not the point. The point is that what saved St. Peter was God's grace acting in his heart and changing his heart. And him going from being haughty and selfish and self-reliant and self-justifying to being willing to give up everything for the sake of Christ. And that's exactly what he did. He began to go around every day and share things with people in need. One day, this was tested, or he had to learn another lesson, in that a beggar came up to him, and this man was shivering. And he was begging for something to wear. He had no coat. And so Peter took off his coat, which was very expensive, very nice. And in those days, there was no mass production of things, so it was unique. And he took off his coat and he gave it to this beggar. And so he went on his way. And a little bit later that day, what should he see in a shop somewhere but his coat that he had given to the beggar? And now he started to feel downcast, because he felt like this was a sign that Christ wasn't receiving his alms. You know, he knew that the Lord said, if you give it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you give it to me. And he said, Lord, I guess, my offering is not worthy and you don't want to receive it. And so he was downcast. But then the Lord appeared to him. And when the Lord appeared to him, he was wearing the coat. He said, it doesn't matter what the beggar does with it. When you give it to someone, you give it to me, and here I am wearing your coat. You see, I have received your offering. And this is important for us, because a lot of times we think when we give something to help someone, we're worried about the outcome of that. In a sense, that's not our business. Of course, we want to do the best we can to really help. But if the person goes on to squander it, well, haven't we squandered much of what God has given to us? And anyway, that's all in God's hands. The outcome, the ultimate outcome, is in God's hands. And you could go give everything you have, and of course you're not going to solve all the crises of the world, poverty and hunger and homelessness and all of that. So we can feel discouraged. Well, it doesn't feel like I'm making a difference. You're making all the difference in the world because you're exercising a loving heart. And that's the thing that matters. That's the thing that makes the difference. And by the way, the other thing that we have to keep in mind when it comes to doing good deeds and giving to others is that it ought to be as far as possible in secret, right? If we do something to be seen by men, as the Lord says, you've had your reward. Everybody's praising you. Oh, what a great philanthropist, you know? No, you've already had your reward. That's why we want to do it in secret, because really, when we do it this external thing to be seen, we're not doing it out of love. So we're not preparing ourselves for the last judgment. But when we do whatever we do in this world, quietly, secretly, humbly, then it really does become an act of love. The judgment, brothers and sisters, is based on the state of our heart. So we shouldn't think of it in terms of like, I gave to the poor all these times, and then there was that one time when I didn't. And so God's going to hold that against me. The point is not this checklist. The point is the state of your heart. And the giving or not giving is an indication of the state of your heart, right? If you love someone, you will act lovingly. If a husband loves his wife, he will do loving things. If he does unloving things, then this shows that to some degree there's a lack of love, right? So our external actions are important to the degree that they show they're an indication of what's inside our heart. Father Zacharias points out that the real difference between the sheep and the goats is seen in their response to Christ. In their response, right? So the Lord says on the one hand, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you went to me and visited me, and so on. And how do those people respond? When did we do that, Lord? We don't remember doing all these great things that you're saying. We don't recognize that. They're not contradicting the Lord. They're saying that they're unworthy of his praise. He's praising them. Well, why are you praising us? We're sinners. They see their own sinfulness and they consider themselves unworthy. They don't think that they've done anything special. So they ask the question, when did we do that? They judge themselves unworthy of heaven. And this is the key. If we judge ourselves unworthy of heaven, if we don't try to justify ourselves at all, but simply seek the mercy of God, then God will justify us. But what happens in the case of the goats? They have the opposite response. Christ tells them, I was hungry and you didn't give me food. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And how do they respond? They contradict him. When did we see you hungry and not feed you? When did we see you thirsty and not give you drink? When were we not perfect? We did everything perfectly in this life. How dare you accuse us of doing things imperfectly? And it's self-justification, and it's making excuses. And Father Zacharias says, self-justification is the most terrible thing, and it's what turns us into goats. God forbid. But when we put ourselves in the lowest place, and we say, I don't see any great thing that I've done. We don't let our left hand know what our right hand has done. So we humble ourselves and we put ourselves in the lowest place. And then Christ says, come up higher. Come up higher. So this is the real difference between the sheep and the goats. In real humility, if we have real recognition of our own great sinfulness and our lack of good works, then we judge ourselves as deserving condemnation. But at the same time, we call upon God's mercy with our whole heart. Then, instead of self-justification, we find God's justification for us. And St. Simeon, the new theologian, says this parable is not just about external deeds of helping others, as we've already said, although those are good, but we always have to begin with love for Christ. That's the starting point. And from that love for Christ, the love can flow over to properly love other people. First and foremost, St. Simeon tells us, Christ comes to us saying this, I was hungry for your salvation. I was thirsty for your tears of repentance. I came to you naked and waiting for you to clothe me with your love. I was imprisoned under the hardness of your heart and waiting for you to humble yourself and break through so that I could be free within you. And so on. We must respond to Christ's desire, his hunger, his thirst for our love, for our humbling ourselves, for our opening ourselves to him. So brothers and sisters, let's be sober as we contemplate the judgment. And let's be inspired by the example of Saint Peter the Merciful to seek a similar change of heart. And let's feed and give drink to and clothe and minister to Christ through our humble love for God and for those around us. Amen.